الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى وعليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: سيأتي على الناس زمان لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه، ولا يبقى من القرآن إلا رسمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and our mothers and sisters who may be listening over streaming, we find ourselves in these months which are after the month of Ramadan, Dhul Qa'dah, and then Dhul Hijjah. And in these particular months, we know that there are two very important acts of worship that are engaged in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is obviously the pillar of Islam, and that is Hajj. It is amongst the five pillars of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Buniyal Islam wa ala." That Islam, the foundation of Islam, is upon five pillars. And amongst these five pillars is this act of worship, this Hajj, which is a compulsory upon every single Muslim who has got the capacity and the capability financially to perform it. That once in a lifetime he should perform this ibadah of Hajj. Together with that, during these days of Hajj, we also know that the act of Qurbani, which is particularly by every single Muslim, again, who has the necessary means to perform this Qurbani. These acts of worship, they have got an external form. They have got an external dimension. But as Muslims, we should avoid only externalizing our ibadat. But rather, it is important that we also internalize these ibadat. For example, we have now come for this Jumu'ah Salah. Alhamdulillah, this is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even having the external is a ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because without the external, you can't have the internal. But we all know that in this material world, we are not merely satisfied with the external. If we are purchasing a car, and they say that this car has got good paintwork, there's no dents, there's no rust, the tires are very good, the lights are very good, the windows are all functional, suspension is very good, all the external elements are there, but it's got no engine, or the engine is about to cease, or this car has got such a major deficiency electrically, that you'll probably get stuck, maybe five times in one journey. So will we be satisfied purchasing a vehicle of that nature? Will we be confident taking that vehicle on a long distance trip, knowing that it's got all these internal weaknesses? In fact, quite often we more particular about the external. We say, listen, don't worry about that rust, it's okay, we can sort it out. The main thing, the engine must be in order. So in this world, generally, we pay more attention to the internal than the external. Both are important. Because if the tires are not good in that vehicle, there'll be no road holding and the person can meet up in an accident and lose his life in the process. So we are not undermining any of the two. Both are critical and important. In the same way, in our deen, there is an external dimension, but there is also an internal dimension. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith, that a time will come upon my ummah, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانِ, that nothing will be left of Islam accept the name of Islam. The external element will only be there. Just the name of Islam will be there. You know, like the person will say that this car is a certain brand, but it's got no engine, it's got no seats, it's got no electrical, but it looks just like that. That's it. As an example. That spirit of Islam will be gone. That internal dimension of Islam will be gone. Hence it is important for us as Muslims that whenever these opportunities come to engage in any ritual of Islam, whether it is the performance of our salah, we have now come for Jumu'ah, we need to internalize this Jumu'ah that I have gathered together for this day of Jumu'ah. It is the best day of the week for a Muslim. It is a day when the entire congregation has gathered. We have got the elderly, we have got the disabled, we have got the masoom children in our midst. Oh Allah, with the barakat of all these people that are here in this gathering, it is an opportunity for your special mercies to descend. I have great hope that when I leave from this Jum'ah, that inshallah my sins will be forgiven. This is now an internal dimension to the day of Jum'ah. That oh Allah, just as you gave us this platform of Jum'ah, where we saw that people from different streets and different communities and diverse backgrounds, different colors of skins, different ethnicity, different financial backgrounds, they all gathered together in one masjid, making ibadat before one Allah, all pledging their allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, there are so many things that unites us. Oh Allah, make this a means of uniting our community. Now this is a way of internalizing that Jum'ah. In some riwayat it is mentioned that the person who performs that Jum'ah, then it is kafaratul lima baynahuma. That whatever sins are perpetrated between the two Jum'ahs, inshallah, by virtue of that one Jum'ah, the sins of the past week will be wiped out, inshallah. So this is a wonderful opportunity. And one is the other, where we come and we perform the Jum'ah, and the person doesn't even know what happened in the Jum'ah. One particular place I went for Jum'ah, and it happens, and the person was sitting in front of me in one corner, with his cell phone, and he was playing games while the talk is on. Now obviously we don't want to embarrass the person, and you will find that in some of these venues, the people are sitting in the masjid, but their heart and soul is not there. Their mind is outside. The person is continuing with his emails and his WhatsApp messages, and he's answering. Yes, it may be very important, but the question is that what the Jum'ah is all about? When the person entered the house of Allah, he should make it, we should be such that now I am focusing my intention to you, O Allah. And this is one of the lessons of Qurbani, inshallah, which we will come to. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ard hanifa. Now O Allah, I have focused my attention to you. My full undivided attention, O Allah, is towards you. When we enter the masjid, we say, Ya Allah, my focus and my undivided attention is towards you. The imam that is delivering the talk, generally speaking, the imam will be speaking about such things. The speaker will be trying to call us towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, by me paying attention, this could be a means of inspiration. It could be a means of inspiration. It could be a stepping stone for bringing me closer to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Mu'anis Padazab rahmatullahi so often say in his bayanat, he used to say that if you coming for my bayan to listen to something new, then you're not going to hear anything new. I'll be repeating the same thing over and over again. And then Maulana used to say that, have you ever heard that the rain that comes in the following year has got a different theme in the year before? That the person says, you know, I'm bored of this tasteless water that comes from the sky. I want the water to have a different color and a different flavor. That every day there must be a different flavor. And sometimes the person gets bored of the same food over and over again, so he tells the wife that, you know, I'm tired of this dish, can you make something else? But we know that to sustain this world, that same water that came down last year, that same kind of water is required for the crops to grow every single year. So Mawlana used to say that sometimes we'll repeat the same thing over and over again, and if you look at the Quran and Majid, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the fact that the Quran is repeated, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِّنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. That the Qur'an and Majeed, one of the specialities of the Qur'an and Majeed is its repetition. Look at Surah Rahman and you will see In Surah Rahman, Allah continuously repeats the verses, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And it's repeated over and over again, that eventually, inshallah, it will have the impact on the heart. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind one another, that reminder is beneficial. So yes, maybe you heard that same story last year, or maybe you know this bayan already, but you never know, when you listen to it again, there may be a different angle which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open for us. So a person, when he enters the masjid for Jum'ah, undivided attention to try and internalize the bayan, to try and internalize the salah, to try and internalize the tilawat of the Qur'an Majeed. There was one friend of mine, he said he went for Umrah during the month of Ramadan to Makkatul Mukarramah and Medina Sharif. And he said he was in Masjid al-Nabawi, and the Taraweeh Salah. And he happens to be a doctor, and he says that I noticed that the Imam came to a certain verse of the Qur'an, and the Imam became very emotional. And he said there was a Musalli right next to me who began crying in the Salah. And he said this Musalli cried for that entire remainder of the Taraweeh Salah. He said it had such an impact on my heart. He said, I thought to myself that, Ya Allah, I'm listening, understand a single word. And that became the turning point in his life. Alhamdulillah, today he's a Hafizul Qur'an, and he understands the Qur'an Majeed, and he's known for his recitation. But that became a turning point in his life, that internalizing the tilawat of the Qur'an Majeed of this Imam, that what is the Imam reciting? I need to understand it. There are many of us, we are now, you know, in our 40s or 50s, but yet we still do not understand the Qur'an Majeed. There should be that zeal and desire that how can I understand these surahs? The Imam recited Surah A'la, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. What does it mean? Let me try and understand the translation. And today, alhamdulillah, with the internet and with AI and with, you know, the bayans that are on the internet and so many different, you know, causes that they have, a person can empower himself. And a person can understand the salah and internalize the salah. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, coming back to the introduction, we had mentioned that a time will come upon the ummah where nothing will be left of our ibadah except just mere rituals. And if we look at now this act of hajj, ulama-i kiram explained that Allah has brought hajj and qurbani very close to the month of Ramadan. And one of the explanations is that, generally speaking, when a person emerges from the month of Ramadan, he is spiritually charged. He is on a high level spiritually. And now Allah brings the days of Hajj very close to it, so that the person is conditioned, he is ready to undertake this journey of Hajj. This journey of Hajj is actually a very spiritual journey. It's a very spiritual journey. And this journey of Hajj, respected elders and brothers, it is a journey which, and we will try to touch on some of the lessons in the little time that we have. It is not just merely a group of rituals that a person will engage in, that the person will go to Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafah, the person will, you know, stone the Jamarat, the person will go around the Kaabatullah Sharif so many times and finish, and that is the end of it. But rather there is a very internal dimension to it. I think that even though we may not be going for Hajj, these are the lessons that we can apply in our daily lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to implement these beautiful practical inspirations, which inshallah will be a means of transforming our lives. One of the aspects is that this journey of Hajj, respected elders and brothers, it is a journey of submission. If you look at it logically, if a person has to say that, listen, why are you, you know, gathered in one particular place, standing in the scorching sun, you know, gathering stones and throwing it at an object, logically it doesn't make any sense to a person. There has to be some logic behind everything. But from this we learn a lesson of submission. That we are Muslimin. Istislam, those who submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Total submission. Without any question. Khaja Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi gives an example. He said, once I bought a slave who was reputed to be very, very pious. He said, I brought the slave home, and when I asked the slave, what is your name? The slave said, oh, my master, whatever name you give me, that'll be my name. He said, then I asked, you like to wear? He said, oh my master, whatever clothing you give me to wear, I'll wear that. He said, what type of food would you like to eat? He said, oh my master, whatever food you give me, I'll eat that for. So he said, don't you have any desire of your own? That slave responded that, oh my master, what does a slave have to do with desires? Khaja Sahib freed him. He said, you have taught me the lesson of submission. That I was willing to give you some shelter, some clothing, some food. But you were willing to sacrifice every single desire of yours to submit to my desires. He said that, imagine my Allah, who is my real Malik, my real Khaliq, my real Raziq. Should I not be willing to sacrifice every desire of mine in submission to the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So this is what it is, teaching us the lesson of submission. For example, a person will wear that simple ihram. Whether the person is, you know, from whichever background, but he has to wear that ihram, he has to submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the lesson of submission. And similarly in Qurbani, Allah ta'ala speaks about the submission, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. That we know the backdrop, Ibrahim ala nabina alayhi salatu wa salam, commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sacrifice his beloved son. And both the father and son, they submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah makes reference to that. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا, when both of them submitted. And not only submitted, he even placed the forehead of Ismail alayhi salam onto the ground. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated this amal and this action to such an extent that till the day of Qiyamah, we will remind ourselves of this great submission of both Ibrahim and Ismail ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam. There's so much more that could be said. But the second important lesson that we learn is the power of sacrifice. In Urdu they say, ke jitne qurbani, itne mehribani. Proportionate to the sacrifice is the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more sacrifice a person makes, the more Allah ta'ala's mercy comes into Josh. Of course, it doesn't mean that a person must bring difficulty upon himself. Some people misunderstand this. And they think that qurbani means that you must purposely choose the harder of the two routes. Whereas we find from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two, he chose the easier of the two. One person came to Maulana Ashraf alayhi sahab Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, said, Hazrat, you need to explain to this person that when he comes to the masjid, there are two routes. One is the route of the shade and one is walking in the sun. This person, this musalli, insists that he'll walk in the sun because he says, ke jitne qurbani, itne mehribani. The more qurbani I make, the more, you know, Allah's mercy will come into being. So then Hazrat tried to explain to him that, you know what, there are two paths and you could rather walk in the shade. This is easier for you. Choose the easier of the two. So he couldn't seem to understand. So Hazrat said, okay, what you do, brother? You don't perform your salah in one masjid. So your Fajr salah, you walk and you go to that masjid. For your Dhuhr salah, go and walk few kilometers to that masjid. And for your Asr salah, walk another, take a jog and walk few more kilometers to that masjid. And then your Maghrib, jog to the next masjid. Because you want to bring more difficulty upon yourself. So bring as much difficulty as possible upon yourself. There was another incident in the life of Muayyidus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, where a lady complained. She was about 7 months pregnant and she said that my husband insists that we must sleep on the floor. Because that is, you know, the way we should be sleeping. So she said that, you know, I find it hard. I'm 7 months pregnant. I struggle to sleep down. So Marana called that person and tried to explain to him, but he was not understanding. So Marana said, okay, brother, you know what you do? Buy your wife a nice comfortable bed. Let her sleep on it. And you sleep on the floor, put one brick down, and use the brick as your pillow, and you sleep like that. Try and bring as much difficulty upon yourself, but why inflict that difficulty upon the next person? So Islam does not encourage that we purposely bring difficulty upon ourselves. But rather it means that when we have the opportunity, and when there is a desire, on the one hand, to violate the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will sacrifice that desire in fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us the understanding. So here we see that Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has to sacrifice his son. And here we find that Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrificed his beloved son in fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not required to sacrifice. What we are required to sacrifice is our evil desires. For example, We need to sacrifice our time to perform our salah. We need to sacrifice our wealth to see to the poor, the orphans, the needy. That wealth is beloved to us. And we need to sacrifice that wealth for the sake of others. The time is beloved to us. We would like to relax and take it easy. Or the person would like to continue his business and, you know, see the money rolling in. But now the call to adhan is there. The person will sacrifice that time, will sacrifice that wealth in fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another qurbani could be that we let go of pride, for example. The person is abounding with pride within his heart. He needs to let go of that pride and bring humility within his heart. The person has excessive anger. Remember, this anger is so dangerous. We see what happens in our community. That something very trivial happens and it can escalate to such an extent that the person can lose his life. And the regret and the trauma and the remorse that comes thereafter will sometimes last for the rest of the lives of those individuals. Just because the person or people are unable to control their anger. It is so dangerous. There was an incident that took place in the time of Hazrat Muinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullahi, where a father and mother got into an argument. The mother was expecting. The father lost his anger to such an extent that he took the firearm and shot the wife dead. Then when he shot the wife dead, he saw the children screaming and they were traumatic. And so then he shot the two children dead. And now he realized now that's the end of his life now. So he shot himself. I still remember it was in the month of Ramadan. Hazrat Muinus Sahib Rahmatullah was so emotional because it just so happened that the girl was actually a student in his madrasa. So look at what happens when a person is unable to control his temper and anger. That there's so much of danger thereafter. That is why one sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, give me advice. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la taghdab. فَرَدَّدَ مِرَارًا قَالَ لَا تَغْضَبْ. He continuously asked for advice. And upon each request, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not get angry. Do not get angry. Do not get angry. May Allah ta'ala. So our qurbani will be, let go of this anger. Learn to become forgiving. Learn to walk away from that situation. May Allah ta'ala give us that himmat and courage. And finally, we had touched on this unity of the ummah. Look at this hajj, this act of qurbani or this act of hajj. Subhanallah, we will find on that Maidan of Arafah, millions of people gathered, all dressed in one libas. Everyone wearing that ihram. Everyone chanting the same words, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik. Everyone having the same objective. If you ask each person, what are you here for? I'm here to please my Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet you will find people coming from Europe, people will be coming from Africa, people will be coming from North America and South America, from Asia, from Russia. But everyone there is a common, ground that unites everyone. And this teaches us as an ummah that we have to unite and we have to understand that through our diversity there is unity. That there are many things that link us together. Yes, definitely there is diversity. Definitely we have differences. But there is something that's so powerful and strong that brings us together. And that is the fact that we all worship one Allah. The fact that we all ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just as we find, we say that I don't get along with my brother, but he's still my brother after all. We are linked together because we are linked to one father and mother. So we are still linked together. No matter what, he's still my brother. No matter what, he's still an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No matter what, he still believes in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, I may not agree with him. I may not follow the same sheikh as he follows. I may not follow the same mufti as he follows. All Muslims, we all believe in one Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala unite the ummah. And remember that Allah does not judge us based on our ethnicity. Allah does not judge a person based on the kind of clothing that he's wearing. Allah ta'ala looks at the heart. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, in conclusion, we repeat these lessons of Hajj. The first of the lessons was the lesson of submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second was the power of qurbani and the power of sacrifice and the importance that we have to sacrifice in our lives. And as an introduction, we spoke about the fact that we need to internalize our ibadat and not merely externalize it. And finally, bringing about unity within our families, unity within our communities, unity in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our brothers and sisters who have undertaken this journey of Hajj, who will be undertaking the journey of Hajj. May Allah ta'ala grant them a Hajj which is maqbool and mabroor. And may Allah ta'ala return them to the families safe and sound and make them assets for the communities. And those who have not gone for Hajj, may Allah ta'ala take us all. And those who will be engaging in qurbani, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our qurbani. And more importantly, may Allah grant us the tawfiq to adopt the quality. Effectively what Allah ta'ala is seeking from in our qurbani. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.